day this is on this particular 100-day leg, all the way through Thanksgiving, all the way through Christmas Day, it ends. But we're moving right along on the gospel bus. By the grace of God, I'm driving the gospel bus. J. Vernon McGee drove the Bible bus. I hope you have had the privilege of listening to J. Vernon McGee and Oliver B. Green. What a blessing they were in the early days of my Christian life. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, I want to preach in your hearing briefly the wisdom of judging yourself before you judge others. The wisdom of judging yourself before you judge others, part one. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 556, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 923, since January the 1st, 2016. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's who we are preaching about, and we're preaching His words. That's why we call it the Just Jesus Campaign. Not only am I preaching the gospel so that you can be saved, I'm preaching about Him, and only about Him, using the four gospels. We've already completed the book of John, and now we are on Matthew, and I am introducing you to Jesus, the most powerful man who ever lived on earth, the man that the Superman writers and all of the other superhero writers copy off of, for indeed he was and is the first and one and only Superman, the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. I cannot think of a better subject to talk to you about than Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ one day said these words, being the greatest judge, the judge of all time, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote, or a splinter of wood?" Have you ever had a splinter in your finger? A little small thing. Sometimes you can't even see it. You can't even get a hold of it to pull it out, but I guarantee you, you know it's there. It's very small. A speck. "And why beholdest thou the speck, or the mote, or the splinter that is in thy brother's eye?" Something as small as an eyelash. You're concerned about that. But considerest not, and some people don't think so, but I believe Jesus had a sense of humor. Notice his dry humor here. "But considerest not the beam, the telephone post that is in thine own eye." Now, I believe some folks chuckle when Jesus said that. Every time I think about it, I get a good laugh. "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, you phony, you mask wearer, you're hiding behind trying to judge somebody else when you don't have yourself together. That's why our title is very clearly The Wisdom of Judging Yourself Before You Judge Others. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine eye, thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote or the splinter out of thy brother's eye. It's okay to look at somebody and say they need some help with something, and you point it out to them, but make sure you don't have the telephone post in your eye, unless you hurt them. Verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine or pigs, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend or tear you. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We praise you and we thank you for allowing us to be in this place once again to hear from you. And oh, how we need to hear from you, Lord, in this day and time of cacophony and noise and the perilous times in which we live. Lord, it is refreshing to hear the plain preaching and teaching of your holy word, the simple preaching and teaching of your holy word. And we pray that you would forgive us and cleanse us of all sin and all unrighteousness. Fill us with the freedom, the anointing, the unction, the energy and the power of your Holy Spirit, and have that to be translated through the pipes and the wires and the cables and the satellites all going all over the world. It is amazing to me that I can preach right here on this hilltop, and people in India, people in Nigeria, people in Russia, and all over the world can hear me preach in real time. And Lord, we pray that through that, souls, lost souls, would be saved. Christians would be revived. Your holy name glorified. Jesus Christ exalted, and always Satan horrified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. First Corinthians 11:31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And I hope you live by that verse. It's a powerful and important verse to live by. It will prevent a whole lot of chastisement, trouble, chaos, and rebuke in your own life. Dr. Charles Spurgeon said, you are not called to judge, for you are not qualified to judge. Amen, somebody. God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. There is much better work to be done by us than that of setting ourselves up as judges over others. By way of introduction, Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck, Dallas Theological Seminary, combined their knowledge, understanding, and gifts and abilities to edit a fine commentary, and they said regarding this passage, by way of introduction, a final illustration of Pharisaic practices pertains to judging. And you must understand that Jesus Christ did not waste words. He said exactly what he wanted to say. The Pharisees were then judging Jesus Christ himself and finding him to be inadequate in their little minds. He was not offering the kind of kingdom they wanted or anticipated, or asking for the kind of righteousness they were exhibiting. So they rejected him. Jesus therefore warned them against hypocritical judging. Many people think that Jesus was rebuking them for judging others. He was. But these characters were so arrogant, they were judging him. They were judging God Almighty, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. They continue, this passage does not teach that judgments should never be made. They have to be made sometimes. Thank God for allowing us that liberty. Matthew 7:5 does speak of removing the speck, after all, from your brother's eye. Sometimes your brother will have a speck in his eye. And God deals with, not only in this passage, but in the Old Testament as well, you make sure that when you try to help somebody, they will appreciate it. Amen, somebody. And they will conform, they will change. So don't cast your pearls before swine or pigs, unless they trample it under their feet and mess it up and muddy it up. Now my baby daughter, she does not think little pigs and piglets would mess up anything. They're so cute, but they will. The Lord's point here, they say, was that a person should not be habitually critical or condemnatory of a speck of sawdust in someone else's eye when he has a plank, a strong hyperbole for effect, in his own eye. Such action is hypocritical. Though judgment is sometimes needed, those making the distinctions must first be certain of their own lives. Thus, the wisdom of judging yourself before you judge others. The wisdom of judging ourselves before we judge others. It is very easy to judge others, isn't it? We live in a society in which different segments of the population frequently set themselves up in judgment of another person or another group of people. And some people have an attitude like the Pharisees of being holier than thou, more important than others, and they look down their nose at others. Believe it or not, this has happened in the so-called prosperity gospel churches. And it was bound to happen. You have certain classes now in so-called prosperity gospel churches. You got the true up-and-outers. You have the wannabe-outers. You have the in and half-outers, in and half-outers, and you have the down-and-outers. And so we have, unfortunately, a system similar to what the Indians have over in India. We have different classes now, because God never intended for us to be pursuing money in the name of Jesus. Because some can do it better than others. There are some people are like a magnet with money, and there are some people, money runs away from them. And we got certain ones now who look down their nose, consider these people cursed and unblessed, and they pretty much hire them as servants. I've seen this. And they're and the up-and-outers who drive the Mercedes, not based upon a cash basis, but a credit basis, which that's not true prosperity, by the way. If you can't buy the Mercedes cash, that's not prosperity, that's debt and foolishness. And so they look down on these people in the church and make them into servants, cleaning their houses, taking care of their children. And so forth. They make judgments of each other in the church today, in many churches. Many put on a persona of righteous indignation when they want to claim that others have done something wrong or offensive in their sight. Have you seen that? Frequently, we see this behavior in politics. We also see it in the church. And we see it in media. You have very likely seen it in your family and in the workplace. However, on the other end of the spectrum, there are those who often quote verse 1 of Jesus' discourse in Matthew 7. Judge not, they say, that ye be not judged. They wish for it to mean that no one should ever condemn the behavior of others. Thank God, God allows us the privilege, if we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, to discriminate, not based upon race, but based upon behavior. We can judge and say, you know what, I love this person in the Lord, I'm praying for them, but this person is taking me down to the ground like they are. They're pulling me down instead of me pulling them up. And so I have to make the judgment, I have to make the decision to pull away from them altogether. Because they got me going places and doing things that I should not be doing and I know are wrong. And I feel like the fellowship is broken between me and the Lord. And so they simply throw up their hands and say, Jesus said, don't judge. You hear this from the adultery crowd. You hear this a great deal today from the fornicating crowd. And you hear it a lot from the homosexual crowd. You also hear it from the drunkards and the marijuana smokers. Don't judge, that you be not judged. However, the truth of Jesus' statement and how we interpret it and apply it to real life stands more in the middle. If you would, here's what Dr. Warren Wiersbe said about this passage in his thoughts and commentary on this passage. He said, the first principle of judgment is that we begin with ourselves. The wisdom of judging ourselves before we judge others. Jesus did not forbid us to judge others, for careful discrimination is essential in the Christian life. Christian love is not blind. If you don't believe that, go to a good Bible-believing church. They will love you. They will help you out if they can. They will smile and greet you. They will break bread with you. But if you tried to pull some funny stuff, you mess with, you fool around, and at the picnic, you try to talk to somebody's wife, or you try to put out information about how that you might be a homosexual, or you're getting too cozy with the children, the minor children, you'll see some another side of them. It will be loving, but they will lay hands on you and let you know in no uncertain way that you can't do that here. And if you persist, they will go ahead and escort you out of the church. The person who believes all that he hears and accepts everyone who claims to be spiritual will experience confusion and great spiritual loss. But before we judge others, we must judge ourselves. There are two reasons for this. First, we shall be judged. How about that? The tense of the verb judged signifies a once-for-all final judgment. If we first judge ourselves, then we are preparing for that final judgment when we all will face God. In other words, beloved, go ahead and judge if you want to. Just understand you will be judged one day as well. And the Bible lets us know, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. If you have spent your life judging others, you will see that kind of judgment at the last judgment, because God keeps good score. This is a matter of reaping what you have sown. You were so arrogant and thought you were all that, that you could put yourself in the place of God and judge others and condemn others. One day you will be judged by God Almighty yourself. The Pharisees played God, if you will, as they condemned other people. And there are many people like that today. They like to play God. But they never considered that God would one day judge them. And then secondly, we are being judged, aren't we? We are being judged every day. The parallel passage in Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38 is helpful here. Not only will God judge us at the end, but people are also judging us right now. And we receive from people exactly what we give. If you're constantly judging others, people are going to constantly judge you. The kind of judgment and the measure of judgment comes right back on us. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You like judging others? Remember that God's going to judge you. You like judging others? Others will judge you in this life just as harshly. We reap what we have sown. And so, ladies and gentlemen, before we judge others, we better judge ourselves. Jesus wants us to consider that the judgment we give and likewise the mercy and grace that we extend to others will be returned to us in the same manner. A very popular comedian, everybody loves him because he's so honest, so transparent about his own life and his own failures. Mr. Hart, I think it's Kevin Hart, something like that. He laughs at himself, which some Christians can't do anymore. You take yourselves too seriously. He just cracks himself up at how short he is. And he laughs at himself. He makes fun of himself. And people love him all over the world. Recently, his long-lost father came back into his life. His son, he's a multimillionaire. He's married, has children, he's doing quite well. His long-lost father came back into his life, maybe needing some help, maybe not. But here's what Kevin Hart, I think his first name is Kevin Hart said, on something so serious, something so painful, your father forsaking you for years and never getting in touch. You know what this comedian did? As far as I know, he's never confessed his faith in Christ. I hope he has. If not, I hope he does. You know what this secular comedian did? He said, I forgave my father. And here's what he said: everybody makes mistakes. Now, I assure you, with that kind of attitude and that kind of mentality, he's going to go a long way. Even as a lost man, God will show him more mercy, because he showed his long-lost, uncaring and unloving father the kind of love all of us as Christians ought to give to those who have offended us. He said rather nonchalantly, "Everybody makes mistakes. Why not?" Thank God for a Christian brother who did the same recently. A song writer and choir director, and very popular in the Christian circles, Kirk Franklin. His dad came back into his life after forsaking his son. And there's a beautiful picture of him kissing his dad on his head. And he has publicly said, "I forgive my dad." Now, we hope that you would have that same kind of heart, attitude, and spirit. Most people do not. Most people will say, "Well, you weren't there for me, and so I'm not going to be there for you." The Pharisees judged harshly and extended little mercy, little grace. They didn't even know what grace was. They were ready to stone one lady because she was caught in the act of adultery. But the problem was, there was no man. Where was the man at? Some people believe that when Jesus started writing on the ground, he wrote, "Where is the man?" Some believe that he wrote on the ground, "If you have never committed adultery, then go ahead and stone her." We don't know what he wrote. The point is, you see how quick we are to judge somebody else and condemn somebody. And we are oftentimes just as evil and wicked. Right now, a politician is accusing a Supreme Court nominee. "He's lying!" Then come to find out, this same senator was caught lying about fighting in the Vietnam War. That's human nature, isn't it? To condemn somebody else, but don't judge yourself and don't condemn yourself, and you have done the same thing. To use Jesus' words, "Thou hypocrite, you hypocrite." Isn't it amazing that oftentimes the person who judges the hardest is the one who has done the same thing? I recall some years ago, Jim Baker committed adultery with a secretary. One of the most popular evangelists at the time. He was second only to Billy Graham. Jimmy Swaggart. And nobody could preach with so much excitement as Jimmy Swaggart. He got behind the pulpit and said, "Bless God! Jim Baker ought to be excised from the body of Christ." And then a few weeks later, somebody caught him getting a prostitute out in California somewhere. And then he had to get behind the pulpit and say, "Oh God, I have sinned against you." And he is not quite recovered from that yet. Isn't that amazing how we are? We condemn others. We don't condemn ourselves. We sit in judgment of others, but don't judge ourselves. And so when Jesus came, he condemned them harshly, that is the Pharisees, for their pride, their arrogancy, their self-righteousness, their holier-than-thou-ness. Likewise, our judgment of others ought to be measured and ought to be coupled with the mercy and grace that God has shown to us. And we should be humble and slow to judge and quick to judge ourselves. Nothing will help you more in your life to live a good life than to judge yourself first. In fact, you'll find that judging yourself, if you want to get into the judgment department, will keep you so busy that you will not have time to judge somebody else. And by the way, we have too many Christians in other people's business. You need to judge yourself. We have too many people in other folks' business in the church today, judging other people, other husbands, other wives, other fathers, other mothers, and your stuff is all jacked up. You hypocrite. You phony. Judge yourself first before you judge others, talking about you're trying to help. We got some people who judge other mothers and fathers on how they raise their children, and their children are in jail. Their daughter's pregnant. They can't find the son. He's in prison somewhere. They don't know where. But they have a whole lot to say about your children. You hypocrite. You phony. You fake. You're hiding behind your own failure and your judgment of others. I knew they were going to get a divorce, but you've been divorced 5 times, so what are you talking about? You hypocrite. Well, I just based upon my experience. Well, shut up. You have failed 5 times, so leave them alone. Someone wrote, when you see faults in someone else, before you criticize, beware, for you have flaws and failures too that others must have to bear. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, help us to judge ourselves before we judge others. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Before I leave you today, of course, ladies and gentlemen, as I am still introducing you to Jesus, I want you to trust him as your Savior today. If you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin in that place called hell, because Jesus will be your judge one day. Yes, as sure as I'm black and my last name white, as sure as you can see me and hear me right now, you will stand before Jesus Christ one day as your judge. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, the Ten Commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. That's why we have jails, we have county jails, we have city jails, we have prisons. Because sin, crime has to be punished. People don't understand anything else. They have to be fined, they have to be chastised, they have to be rebuked, they have to be judged, they have to be put in jail or prison. And so the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Sin is always punished. Somebody has to pay the price. We die physically. These beautiful, expensive bodies, more expensive than anything else on earth, must die. All of the blood vessels and that amazing brain. How God has wired you so magnificently and so wonderfully. You were made to live forever, but we have sinned against God. We have broken God's laws. We have broken His commandments. And so death must come. And our bodies will die one day if we live long enough, and will be planted in the ground, 6 feet under. Our souls, made to live forever, will go somewhere forever. If we have trusted Christ as Savior, it will go to heaven. If you have not trusted Christ as Savior, your soul will go to hell. Have you ever noticed that when there's a plane crash, or a plane is in trouble, and they're saying, "Mayday, Mayday," or something like that, or a ship is in a similar situation, they say, "How many souls do you have on board?" And the captain knows to say, "We have 133 souls." Your soul is the real you. So you see a body right now, but the real me is invisible. It makes the body go. Just like you, the real you, your soul, will spend eternity in heaven or hell. If you trust Christ as Savior, you'll go to heaven. If you don't trust Christ as Savior, you will go to hell. It's as simple as that. It's nothing hard about it. Thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you're on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." See, you can't kill the soul, my friend. No. "But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Only God can do that. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of constant pain. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of burning. And hell is forever. You don't want to go to hell, if you have any sense. Now that's bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life in heaven." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. In other words, you will not go to hell, you'll go to heaven to live with God in Christ forever. And that's the thing that Jesus was really getting at. Not only saving you from hell, but saving you to heaven to be with him. For whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the punishment of sin in hell. And saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God in Jesus forever. And all you have to do is believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And then pray and ask him to save you, and he will. And I'll be glad to lead you in the what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have committed evil acts. I have broken your Ten Commandments in your sight. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have put others and things before you, making them idols. I have stolen things before. I have lied before. I've coveted after and lusted after people and things that don't belong to me. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again as the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sins of the entire world. Now, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and turn from my old evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.